Thank you for joining us this evening on the podcast. Coming to you live from the Gutterman Estates, located on the third fairway of the Louisville Country Club, with a stunning view of the lake. Today, our host, Michael Gutterman, will have a very cerebral discussion with you about photography, his philosophies on life, his thoughts on poverty, and those who do not shoot Leicas and Leica gloss, while he sips a lovely Chardonnay. I'm just goofing with you. It's Mike Gutterman. He's in the Gutter Man Cave. He's drinking cheap-ass beer. He's shooting APS film. And this is the Negative Positives Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode number 271. I am your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from the Gutterman Cave here in Louisville, Kentucky, for a little solo show. These solo shows are going to be maybe a little less frequent or a little less routine as far as a weekly thing, but I still want to pop them up from time to time, mostly to get your all's call-in camera reviews published and out there in the wild. And if we have any emails, there's more of a listener's kind of episode rather than me just kind of rambling about things. I think I've done plenty of that of those episodes. And I mean, by the way, you guys know what I think about things right now by now, right? So, I have a very long call-in camera review for this episode. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into that. This one will be coming from Eric Dan, and he's going to be talking about the Leica M2. So let's hear his thoughts on that right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Eric, president and CEO of 35mmlove.com, coming to you all the way from Tokyo, the land of the rising sun, Japan. About last year, in December, I finished studying and taking a test I've been studying for over half a year for my job, and had all of this film, undeveloped film that I've been sitting on for in the past half a year, and once the test was over, decided to get to work, start developing all of those rolls, making contact sheets of every sleeve roll of film, and I decide what to print. So it was a daunting task, getting through 50 to 60 rolls of films, I think it was, that I had to make contact sheets for. I got a little bit bored listening to audiobooks in a dark room. And then I stumbled upon Mike's podcast, Negative Positive Podcast, and really sort of did save me in the dark room. I was bored to death, and then all of a sudden I had 200 some shows, to catch up on and get me through printing all of these contact sheets. Around the same time, my good friend Ben, owner and operator of Darkroom Tokyo on Instagram, introduced me to the Lights 1C Focal Matte Enlarger. I've been shooting a Leica for about 7 years and really loved the overbuilt, tactile feeling of the camera. And the enlarger I've been working on for, the past 3 years is an LPL, not a bad piece. It's a diffusion enlarger, but, those plasticky knobs were made out of plastic. The baseboard was, plywood. It was a nice piece, but, once I started working on the lights, I realized, I can't work with this, plasticky crap anymore. I just fell in love with the lights, and my LPL has been sitting covered up in the living room ever since. So that kind of started all. I just hate this plasticky feel of equipment. And the light guy MP I've been shooting for the past 7 years. It's a great camera, mechanical perfection, they say. Yeah, it's a Leica, really nice. The only problem was this ISO dial for the light meter in the back of the camera. That's made out of plastic, and it just doesn't fit the camera. It's a beautiful old style rewind knob, solid metal film rewind lever camera. I just never understood why that Leica decided to put a piece of plastic on the back of a camera like this. Anyhow, I decided that's enough. I'm not dealing with that plasticky shit anymore. The only plastic that's ever going to touch my camera again is a piece of film. Acetate. Cellulose. So I got rid of the Leica MP on eBay. Sold it actually more than I bought it for 7 years ago. Seems like most of this equipment has gone up in value. So that was a nice surprise, and it sort of left me with enough money to buy another Leica MP, M2, sorry. And that Leica M2 I decided on because I've been shooting 35mm for ever since, basically. And for a 35mm lens, the M2 is the camera with the cleanest viewfinder. There's nothing distracting you. There's no light meter, popping up, blinking. You have only one set of frame lines. Not like the MP that shows you, I think, three of them at a time. So I decided to buy myself an M2. And, living in Japan, it's always been a dream of mine to buy a nice old camera, get it completely, overhauled, restored. There's a place in Japan, Kanto Camera in Kawasaki. They do a fantastic job restoring these cameras. It's basically... your camera will come back like a factory brand new. Costs a bit of money. I bought the Leica M2, I think, for $1,500, and then the restoration and paint job overhaul of the M2 cost me about another $1,700. But that's about what I got for my MP used on eBay. So didn't have a problem spending money on a camera, on a hobby of mine, which I practice every day. I don't think it's expensive at all. Yep. So the Leica M2, I'm not an expert on this, but I believe it's the second rangefinder that after the M3 that Leica made. That has all shutter speeds combined in one dial. It's basically the simplest piece of equipment you can get. The camera has a horizontal shutter. It's got the shutter speed dial. It's got a rewind lever, a rewind knob on the top. In the front, you have the lens mount, the release button for the lens, and on the right side, my version of this M2 has a self-timer. That's a bigger lever than the one on the left side that's used for selecting frame lines. So that's basically everything it has. And it doesn't have a light meter. It has no electronics. If you look inside of this camera, you won't see any cabling, wiring, soldering, nothing. Just it's as clean as it gets. It's like a Swiss made watch, all mechanical, all solid brass and metal, no plastic inside of this camera. And again, the viewfinder of this camera, I think, is the same magnification as the newer Leica M6, MP, maybe M7. point was a point 0.72 or 71. I'm not sure, but it's enough to comfortably accommodate 35 millimeter frame lines, and you'll have a little bit of a room around the frames to see what is walking into your frame, which is seems to be like one of the favorite things by street photographers these days. And the frame lines you get with an M2, I believe it has a 50, a 90, a 50, a 90, and a 35. Obviously, let me actually look through this. So I have a 35 mounted on this now. So this is a 35. If I push it to the right, I get something smaller. That's got to be the 50. If I push it further, okay. So that's probably a 90 or 135, I don't know. Anyhow, the main thing about this is that all other Leicas after the M2, I believe the M4 might be different, but definitely an M6, 7, and MP. What you get is with each mode of the frame line selector lever, you basically get three sets of frame lines. With a 35, I believe you get the 90, the 75 and 135. With a 50, you might get another set of three. It's just I meant well for convenience. The problem is, like, it's distracting. With a camera like this, you know, you're not swapping lenses every couple of minutes. So why do I need these additional distracting frame lines in there every time I look through the viewfinder? Because now shoot is 35, so the 135 smaller frame is just sitting there in the center of this viewfinder and bothering me. It just sucks, right? It's distracting. Like, what I'm trying to do is basically just frame the world with clean frame lines, and yeah, so that's was basically another reason, other than the crappy plastic ASA dial selector on VMP, that made me decide to move to the M2. On the back, the camera has the M2 has a metal ASA DIN film sensitivity selector wheel. Now this one goes from, it doesn't actually do anything because the camera doesn't have a meter, everyone knows that, but anyhow, it looks cool. It can be used as a reminder what film you have in there, I guess. It goes, although it's a little bit outdated nowadays, it goes from 4 ASA up to 1300 ASA. So films like Natura 1600, Delta 3200, obviously you can shoot them on this camera, but like there's no setting for that on the back of this camera. In the center of this dial, it has another couple of symbols that you can select there. One of them is sunshine. One of them seems to be just like dark, meaning a dark room, or I don't know, just a dark environment. And then you have this light bulb that's probably for flash. And that's all it does. It looks nice, and it feels good, and yeah, just fits the style of this old 1960s, 70s camera. You have two flash sync ports right above the film door. One of them has a little flash, the other one has like a light bulb. I've never used these before, but I heard that if you wanted to use flash, because the hot shoe is actually not a hot shoe, it's a cold shoe. There's, like I said, there's no electronics in this camera, nothing, pure mechanics. So if you wanted to use a flash in this camera, you can, but you need to buy an adapter for these ports to make your PC, whatever it's called, wire work with your flash. And I think all it does is it basically closes the connection, or closes the circuit connection of that flash by probably sliding some piece of metal when he released the shutter, and that triggers a flash. Anyhow, they're not being used by me. They look cool. I like those symbols, and especially in black paint, it looks amazing. Because the symbols are engraved and are painted in an off-white color. The eyepiece or the viewfinder is a bit different from modern Leicas too. It looks the same, but like the newer ones seem to have some like rubbery hard plastic piece around it. That's, you know, maybe not a bad thing because it's easier in the eye. I don't know, but this one is pure metal. And yeah, I guess it's a bit harder than the plastic version of it on DMP, but I've never had an issue with it. Doesn't bother me. Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, what else do you have on this thing? No, I guess why don't I tell you about the little bit about like what I did to this camera. So it came in silver, like most of them do. And I, you know, before I actually went out buying one of these, I went to Kanto Camera, talked to them about this project, and asked them, you know, what I should be looking out for. I knew I wanted an M2 that has a self-timer. Not that I use a self-timer, but it's actually a nice thing you can grip onto when you hold your camera in one hand. On the MP, I had the battery cover that sort of worked like a grip for me. So on the M2, I was looking for one that has a self-time timer lever in the front, so I can use that to hold on to, because otherwise it does get a bit slippery, this camera. Yeah, and then what was it? The silver M2. Yeah, right. And then they told me, all right, just make sure you buy a camera that has a clear, clean viewfinder. They can fix most things at Kanto Camera. One thing they can fix, I believe, is the viewfinder of the M3s and M4s, M2s. So they told me, look out for that. And, you know, get one that's over, what was it, 1,050,000 serial numbers. I don't know why that is. Maybe some internal parts changed after that serial number. Anyhow, so I got one. Mine starts with 108, so that's 30,000 above the one that they recommended. It was made in 1963 in Wetzlar, Germany. And I decided to paint this thing black. My MP was silver, chrome silver. It was a beautiful camera, and then the chrome is extremely tough, like even after 7 years of pretty much using the camera every day. It barely had any scratches or marks. So in that sense, the chrome versions are nice, but I was ready for a change. I wanted something different, and I decided, why don't I have them painted black? Yep. So Kanto is this is an amazing place. You go in and you bring them your camera. They take a look and then tell you what needs to be fixed, if anything, and then present you with a bunch of options that you can choose from. I don't know how many different types of blacks they had. I think it must have been at least 3 or 4 different blacks, like a shiny one that resembles like the original black paint pieces, like a almost like a half glossy one, if you want to think of it in terms of our papers. Matte, semi-matte, or what was it called? Satin and glossy. And then you have a matte black. So I chose that one. I like glossy prints, but I don't like my camera to be glossy and stand out when I'm walking the streets of Shibuya, Tokyo, and be noticed by people. So I went for a black, matte black paint. And the nice thing about this matte black is also that it's sort of a matches the paint on the old Leica lenses for that era. So that was nice. And then they came back with a bunch of samples of vulcanite leatherette replacements that you can choose from. And then that's probably one of the hardest things to decide. They have so many different types of synthetic chromed leather, vegetable tanned leather, lizard skin, gator skin, God knows what. Anyhow, I like rough textures that kind of look like the old Vulcanite, the leg I used to put on. And also the rough ones seem to provide a little bit of a better grip. So I chose one that is synthetic, I believe. It doesn't look like leather to me, doesn't feel like leather, but it's extremely grippy. What else about this thing? Okay, so yeah, I did that. And that's enough for now.
Well, thank you, Eric Dan, for the call-in camera view for the Leica M2. And always appreciate getting call-in camera views in. We have about 6 or 7 in the queue right now to get to, which is one of the reasons why I still want to do these solo shows from time to time. It'll probably be, I'll probably still be putting them up about once a week for at least the near future, because I want to get through these call-in camera views and then maybe decide where I want the solo shows to go from here on in the future. But definitely not necessarily killing the idea, just don't want to necessarily pressure myself to put out a solo show every single week. But definitely going to be putting some out to get through these call-in camera views and that kind of stuff, and listener interaction type show, basically. But if you want to submit a call-in camera views review or talk about anything in your film photography world or universe or film life, then by all means, you can send us a call-in. It's pretty easy to do. Just use your smarty phone and get your voice recorder app. Talk into your phone, record it. What do you want to say about whatever you want to say? And we will and then send that file on over to negpositives@gmail.com, and I'll put it in the queue, and we will get you on the air in the near future on this this very podcast. So again, thanks to Eric for sending that in. And always very cool to hear from listeners of the show, and huge thanks to Eric for listening to the show in the dark room. I'm glad he found it, and I'm glad that we were able to keep him company through his dark room. That sounds like a very big project he was trying to accomplish, and it's very cool to think of someone in their dark room listening to this podcast. It's kind of a huge thrill, so thanks for that. So, okay, I'm going to take a quick little break and then come back and maybe talk about something really, really quick, because I want to keep these solo shows short, and so we'll take a break and be right back, folks. All right, folks, we're back for one little final segment. And, listening to Eric's call-in camera view, and he was talking about, he has kind of, it seems, a little aversion to, like, plastic on his cameras. Got me thinking a little bit about some thoughts that I've been feeling lately about contradicts what he was saying a little bit. I'm starting to lose my romance with these all metal mechanical cameras. I'm starting to hold them a little less precious. I still love my Pentax K1000 SE. It's one of my favorite cameras. I find that I'm actually using that more than some of my Pentax cameras that are mechanical, but a little more featured, like the Pentax KX and the Pentax MX. And I'm actually kind of enjoying the K1000 SE a little more for some reason. I don't know why, but I think it's because, I just kind of, one of my first cameras, good cameras I ever used was my dad's K1000. So maybe I have a little bit of romance going on there. But actually, I counted up, I have 8 Pentax 35mm SLR bodies. And also, and on top of that, I have a Sears KS2, which is a Pentax mount body that Kevin Dillon so graciously gave me. And That's also, you know, another awesome body. So technically 9 Pentax mount 35 millimeter SLRs, and I want to get that down to about 3 or 4 that I actually really, really like. I'm going to keep the Sears KS2 because, well, Kevin gave it to me, and also I really, really like using that camera, and it has a lot of really cool features on it. And I'm going to keep the K1000 SE. There's no question of that. I'm keeping that camera. It's very minty, and I just really enjoy it. A lot of the other ones, like the MX and the KX, I think they're going to go in kind of that conversation about scaling down our collections a little bit. It's been kind of the hot trend. And a lot on the Facebook group, and a lot of podcasts have been talking about it. Yeah, just been trying to think of which cameras I'm really actually enjoying. And 2 Pentax cameras I've actually had probably the most fun with recently, in the last, I don't know, 6 months or so, is like my Pentax SF1N and my Pentax PZ1P. Now, these are late 80s, early 90s plastic autofocus 35 millimeter SLRs. Particularly the PZ1P is a kind of a pro-bodied model, and has all sorts of features on it. Pretty much do anything you need it to do. 1/8000th of a second top shutter speed, which is very nice on a sunny day when you're trying to get shallow depth of field, all that stuff for that bokeh. But so I've just had a lot of fun shooting those lately, and I'm kind of enjoying those more. And I'm kind of, you know, I think a lot of us, we want to, I'm going to keep, you know, obviously I'll keep some mechanical cameras, but a lot of us hold these things precious because, well, they're more repairable. If something goes wrong, we can get them repaired. But man, these electronic ones that, you know, that people don't hold so dear and aren't really worth as much, and you can buy pretty cheap these days. Yeah, if they break, they're probably a doorstop or a paperweight at that point, because you're probably not gonna get anybody to be able to fix them. But they're so cheap to replace anyway, it's not that big of a deal, right? So, but I've just enjoyed those cameras a whole lot more. I think mainly because I just find them a little easy. I'm just finding them a little easier to shoot. It's making my shooting a little easier, and that's always a good thing, right? I enjoy the features on them. I enjoy being able to add some exposure compensation just by flicking a dial or whatever. And I don't know. I just feel like I think I have to think a little less with them, which is kind of good. Can you sometimes get out of your own head and just take photographs and not have to think so much about every single exposure. I don't know. It's something that I've been kind of thinking about lately. And as I decide which cameras I'm going to sell and kind of pare down this kind of ridiculous collection that I've accumulated over the last several years. And also another camera, the Pentax P30T that I got recently. I mean, I've spent like $15 on that camera, and that thing is, it's awesome. And you can actually shoot like aperture priority with it, and which is one of my preferred shooting modes. And I got it for $15. It's minty, and the meter is just stellar in that thing. It's never ever let me down. I used to have one years ago, and it was always just spot on, even with like night photography. And this one, this new one, is seems to be no different. And so, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking out loud here, but I'm starting to lose a little bit of my romance with these metal-bodied, all mechanical cameras. That's what you gotta have, right? Yeah, you're shooting manual. That's how you're a real film photographer. Shoot what you like, right? But it's kind of funny. It's probably actually good for my wallet that I'm kind of a little more attracted right now to some of the cheaper Pentax bodies that I have, rather than some of the more expensive or more desired all mechanical metal bodied models that I have in my collection. So just something I've been thinking about lately, wondering if anybody else is kind of feeling the same way. I know it's not necessarily the hip choice, but it's just kind of something that I'm going through, and I think it's gonna probably be better when I go to sell these things, because I'll be selling some of the ones that will probably bring me a little more money than these plastic whiz-bang ones that I'm kind of enjoying a lot lately. So just a little thought that I had after hearing Eric's call-in camera view, and also just what from my shooting experiences here recently. So, and even my, you know, even my Leicas. I mean, they're electronic cameras. The R7 and R8. Those are electronic cameras. Now they are metal bodied cameras, and they feel great in the hands and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, they're electronic cameras. They're not mechanical, and I'm thoroughly enjoying those. So it's just kind of a little change in direction for me, I think, with the kind of cameras I like to use on a shoot. So okay, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. You can see my photography at Gutterman Photo on Instagram, on Facebook at Mike Gutterman Photography. You can email this program at negpositives@gmail.com. You can join the Facebook group, the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group. And we also have an Instagram account under the name Negative Positives, mostly ran by a friend of the show, Mr. Bryce Randall. If you submit photos to Instagram, think about using the hashtag Negative Positives, and maybe Bryce Randall will see it and highlight it on the Negative Positives Instagram account. Okay, everybody, have a great rest of your week, or weekend, I guess, until we talk to you on the Monday show. And I believe it's Sam Heaney is joining us as our guest for the Monday night show. And I will put a post on the Facebook group to ask questions of Sam when he joins us. So looking forward to that. Until then, everybody have a great weekend. Everybody stay positive and shoot some cool film photos.
Gutter Man Cave Production!